about 3 months ago, I had an invitation. God basically said to me, I want you to come deeper into me. Now I was thinking, oh, cool, that's great. What do you mean? And he said, I want you to come into another three levels of intimacy, deeper into a baptism into the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And then I began to pursue that. And so that meant going deeper into the river of life to engage the source of life, which is out of heaven. And so I've been stepping into that and engaging that deeper. And then one of the other experiences that I needed to go back into, and I'll share the first experience of this tonight because it was my first real engagement into heaven in 2008. But it was basically going deeper into the firestones, and that was going deeper into Jesus. The firestones are stones which Lucifer walked on in Ezekiel 28 on the mountain of God near the river of fire and near where we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And if I get time sometime during this time, I'll hopefully take you through the two pathways and the map of heaven that I've got. But I engaged initially at that level, and then went deeper. And when I went deeper, my mind could not contain that which I experienced. The first time I engaged on the firestones, my emotions engaged with it, and it was a very emotional experience which brought a revelation of the presence and person of God in his character. But when I went into it again, I went into it at another level and began to engage the protocol of the kingdom. And recently I've engaged that with the 12 laws that come out of Zion, which is the protocols of the kingdom of heaven in terms of rulership. I got access to the court of the fathers, where there are two sets of 12 elders and 12 chancellor's houses. Now I'm just throwing this out now because I'm not going to go into it, from the point of there is always more. And no matter where you've got with your encounters with God, never be satisfied with where you are, because that means you're content with the level that you've reached. God is always going to be calling you deeper. He's always going to be calling you into another level of intimacy, another level of revelation to your spirit. But don't try and figure it out. If you try and figure it out intellectually, or try and engage your mind to understand the encounters that you're going, particularly when they get deeper, you will struggle. And it will hinder what your spirit is receiving. Because your spirit is designed to be encoded with light, because it's light itself. It's made out of light. As God is light and God is spirit, our spirit is creative light, which operates at a faster speed than created light. Therefore, we can engage in heaven, and we can engage in the timeline and all those things because of the engagement of our spirit as being light. So when your spirit engages the deeper things of revelation of God, it receives encoding within it. You could say it's the voice of God being encoded in it. You could say it's the frequency or the vibration of his voice, resonance, whatever, lots of different ways of describing it. But your spirit will receive something that then your mind and your soul will eventually catch up with, so long as your spirit gates are really open. And you've opened up the gates of your life for a flow from the inside out, because that revelation will begin to manifest around you as you become a gateway of heaven on earth. And as we're a habitation of God, we are also a gateway of heaven. And so I want to encourage you to practice letting your spirit engage. It's not a mental exercise. You know, when you go into heaven in a trance or in an ecstatic engagement, your spirit and soul go. So it's like you are there and you're unaware of what's going on here. Those encounters are God orchestrated. You should not try to induce a trance or an encounter which is ecstatic. You can position yourself for them and be waiting on God for them, but don't try and engineer one of those things, because that's what the New Age movement does. It looks to do it in the power of the soul and create a state of emptiness which will be filled and won't be filled with anything good. But when you engage in positioning yourself before the presence of God and you fix your eyes on Jesus and you begin to focus on him and behold him, you are filling yourself with that, and then he can occupy that and begin to speak to you. And so, you know, there are lots of involuntary encounters which are God's business, but we can make them more likely to occur by what we do in waiting and learning to rest in him and learning those things. When we learn to step into the realm of the spirit in our spirit, because our spirit can engage by faith and our spirit can engage there, our soul remains here. But our spirit is connected through the gateways to our soul and can inform us of what's going on. Some people get that information visually. A lot of people get that information by knowing, by perception, by actually your spirit knowing where you are and describing to you instantly where that knowing takes place. So, and again, don't try and pursue, I need to see, otherwise it's not real. Because you can try and strive to see something in a vision sense, using the eyes of your heart, your imagination, which is fine. I've trained my imagination to see, but actually I've gone beyond that into mostly my spirit seeing with the eyes of my spirit. So right now, if I choose to look into the room, I can engage my spirit with what's going on in the spiritual atmosphere, and I can describe to you, A, where the four angels are standing, and also what the angels that you have behind you, and what color you're giving off, and what flame there is flickering, or fire that's burning in you. Because... now, I often don't choose to describe that to people, because I want to encourage you to see for yourself. You see, I have learned to see it, so I can help mentor other people to see it, not become the replacement for them to be able to see it. But our spirit learns to engage much more by frequency than by sight, if you know what I mean. And so there are wavelengths of light in this room that you can't see with your natural eyes. So there are radio waves, microwaves, TV signals, all sorts of waves of frequency in this room. There is infrared, there is ultraviolet, there are the ends and the extreme. We can only see in seven colors. And I know Ian describes this as if you put those seven colors on the keyboard, there are seven keys, all the other frequencies that we can't see with our eyes would be from here to the moon. So there are so many things that we can't physically see with our eyes, but our spirit can engage at that level. And so when I began to learn how to see that way and to experience it that way, I asked God to show me how. And he described it as like sonar. In a sonar, you send out a ping in through the water, and sound travels faster, four times faster in water than it does air. And then you receive an image back from that ping when it hits something. So my spirit can send out a wave into this room and detect the wavelengths of the spiritual realm that's in this room and receive it back and tell me what's there. And I can describe it visually, although I'm not seeing it visually. So I'm not seeing it as an image in my mind on the screen of my imagination. I'm seeing it. If I close my eyes and I choose to engage the right side of my brain and slow down my brain waves to alpha waves rather than beta waves, I can tune into that and see it. But I don't need to, because I don't need it as evidence of reality. Because my spirit actually is the higher form of revelation. And so I've learned to be able to engage that, and anybody can learn to it. And in my testimony tonight, I will share that, because actually anybody can learn these things. You know, I've come from a very, very left-brained background. And so I've had to train my senses to engage these things. And if I can do it, there is no one else who can't do it, to be honest. You know, because I know the obstacles I've had to overcome to learn how to do it, but I'm very tenacious when I get hold of something, and I won't give up. You know, I persevere and I press in until I get what the promises are. So what I'm encouraging you is, there is so much more that we will engage and you will engage, but just don't try and do it in the wrong way. You know, if God is going to take you to places and show you things, that's wonderful. You can learn to step in yourself, but do it in the spirit, not try and do it with your reasoning or your intellect, because it will be a hindrance. And you can't figure out these deep things of God. You cannot understand them intellectually before you understand them spiritually. Once you've understood them spiritually, your spirit can inform your mind in a way that it will understand. Then you will have both working together. It's not that you throw your mind out. I mean, I come from a very scientific background in biochemistry, and I am a very reasoned thinker, but I've trained myself to engage in my spirit. And that is what is the reality, because this realm is only held together by that spiritual realm. This is not the real realm. The spiritual realm is the higher realm, and ultimately, when we get into the age to come, we will be operating in the spiritual realm, because it will all become spiritual. You know, it won't be the same as it is now. So I just wanted to throw that out. Now, when I went deeper into the Father's heart, which was the third thing that he invited me to do, this totally changed and transformed how I started to do things. I began to realize that you have to cultivate and brood and incubate desire in your heart. That doesn't happen in an instant, and it doesn't happen unless you go through a process of pregnancy over things. You know, you can get something conceived in a second, but you can't get something birthed in a second. It has to go through a process of growth. And when we get God's desire for us, for our scroll, for our destiny, for his purposes for us on maybe every single day of our lives, because you need to know what God's purpose is, like Jesus, he saw what the Father was doing every day, and in seeing what the Father was doing every day, he then did that. We need the same thing for our days, each day of our lives, because each day of our lives is written in a book. In Psalm 139, before we were ever born, it was already agreed with our spirit. We just need to get the rest of us in tune to come into alignment with it. So I discovered that by going back into the Father's heart, and the Father's heart was where we were created, where his thoughts about us and where the vast sum of his thoughts about us were incubated. And that's where we can go back and see what we should have been and what we should be in terms of the future. So you can engage the timeline, and you can engage looking back into what was. And that's what I began to do. I began to see what was in the beginning, because this whole circular Hebrew thing, the end and the beginning always meet, so that you can always look back into what was, which was into perfection and back into eternity, and look to what was before, into the before the fall, to see what God would want us to be manifesting today. And so then I began to see how to manifest that into today, into what is, so that I will transform what will be. Because if I see what God's intention was, I can bring that into my life today on a daily basis, and then each day will be changed from what it would have been if I just did my own thing. And we get to be able to do this. So our scroll, any mountains of authority, any mandates that we are given from God, we need to cultivate and incubate them in our heart, which means we need to spend time in his presence, around the ark of his presence. And when we're spending time around the ark of his presence there, what we find is our heart is open. What I was doing was I would go into the presence of God around the ark every day, having presented myself as a living sacrifice, and I would begin to engage the will of God. I wanted to know what his will was for me today, so I could outwork his will. Now that seemed pretty reasonable, and I could quote the scriptures on it, but that was just the first level, and God wanted me to go deeper, because he did not want me just to know his will and then do his works. He wanted me to know his heart. So he wanted me to know what was behind it, what his ways were. And I think in the Psalms, it talks about the children of Israel knew the works of God, but Moses knew his ways. And there's something about knowing the ways of God and knowing the heart that God has for us and for what he's called us to do that means that we get to embrace it as sons rather than lords or even kings. Because I was learning how to operate in lordship by getting his mandate for the day, going to my mountain and administrating his mandate for today, and then outworking it through my day. And so he would specifically show me some things I would be authorized to do, then I could go do them. I would be looking for my heart to be aligned with him so I could follow that during the day. But I discovered that he was calling me to a deeper level of sonship in which I would actually know what his heart is. And then as a son, I could then birth the desires of my heart, because the desires of my heart were aligned with his, which were what he always had for me. But that took, I'm on that journey. It's like I'm still going deeper and deeper into that. But I'm learning to look into God's desire for anything so that I can begin to manifest that desire, not just do the things that it would show me to do. And that has caused me to look at this scripture in Romans 8:19 in a different light. Basically, for the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, that means God wants to reveal us fully as his sons on the earth, because we are operating in heaven and can administer heaven on the earth as true sons. Because lordship operates under kingship. So if you operate in the authority of a lord, then you are operating under the mandates and authorization of the king. When you get into kingship, you can begin to legislate your own mandates out of that which God gives you an authorization to do. So you get to operate in certain courts, and you can go to the court of kings, and you can engage the scroll there, and you can produce a scroll out of what is birthed out of your kingship, if you like. And that's a level of authority that benches of three need to operate in legislation. But there is a higher dimension to that in sonship. And verse 21 says that creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Now, I've been meditating and looking back into God's purposes in eternity to see what that is. And it is frying my mind. Because my spirit is resonating with it, but to look back, you have to see something and engage with it. And I'm realizing that what we're doing is just the very, very tip of an iceberg that is massive underneath. And when you think of the freedom of the glory of the children of God, that means that the whole of creation, that means the whole of the created order, spiritual and physical, will be brought into the glory, which is an expression of who we are as God's children, as sons of God. And that will change and transform everything, which means we get the power to change and transform and terraform those cities of refuge to start with. And what will be expanding territory from those cities of refuge, it's like Adam and Eve were tasked to take a garden which was connected to the Garden of Eden in heaven, and they walked in both gardens to then subdue the rest of the earth and fill the earth with that garden. And so they administered the rule of heaven on earth as a garden of God. Obviously, they chose the wrong path, but we get to not only do what they didn't do, but to what they would have done if they hadn't have fallen, if I can describe it that way. Because Adam and Eve were sinless, they were not perfected. They would have had to have gone through a process of perfection, which represented the nine fire stones, which represented what Satan's role was, or Lucifer's role was, being the light bearer to train and equip us to be sons. He took exception to the fact that we were going to be sons in the realms of heaven as well as on earth, and decided to try and take that position for himself. But we still get to fulfill that position if we're willing to be true sons. We have to go through a process of perfecting. So not only does our soul need to be refined and purified and transformed to come into alignment with who we are and our identity as royal priests, our spirit needs to learn what it is to be perfected into the image of God. And that is a whole different ballgame and a whole different level of revelation that God is wanting to bring us into. And God is calling us to embrace our identity as his sons and to embrace the fullness of what that really means. And so as I've been engaging around the presence of God, I've been thinking about his name. And you know the Yod, He, Vav, He of his name. And technically, I think in the Hebrew, that's the Tetragrammaton, which they only wrote vertically because they wouldn't write it horizontally because it was such a holy name. But we get to engage the person of that name. And we get to engage the four faces of God, which are representing that name around the tabernacle, when we look into him. And as we look into him, we then get to step into him, because we're in him. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. So we get to step into him, which then we can see into his heart. And a couple of times I've actually gone back into his heart spiritually. So I've gone home and actually gone back into, and I've taken a few people there in some exercises, and they couldn't describe afterwards what they experienced, because they experienced the thoughts of God and the heart of God that they were birthed and created out of, and what that is still going in terms of creativeness, because God is obviously creative and we're made in the image of God as creative beings. Sonship is we will get to birth things from sonship. And that will be the expansion of the kingdom. You know, the never-ending increase of the government of God. We get to birth because he will entrust us as sons to represent his heart. Because we know him and we are like him and we will administer as he does. Well, that doesn't mean that we become God, but we become made like unto the image of God. We are supposed to be like him. And he had such creative power, and he's released that to us. Now, a picture of this is what Adam and Eve did in the garden. Adam named the animals. And he didn't just give them a name, like giraffe, elephant, whatever, because that's English names. He formed them out of the creative sonship he had within him in walking with God, because his spirit was on the outside of him and he was a being of light that took his body into the realms of the spirit, because he was coated with glory, he was clothed with glory. And he was able to form the animals out of the thought of God from his spirit. That's why they look so wonderful. That's why they're so creatively formed. Because when he named them, he formed them. Because God was showing the creative ability of sonship. Now, I was in heaven one day, talking to Jesus, and we were sat talking, and he was whittling a piece of wood. And I was sort of watching him out of the corner of my eye as I was looking at him, and we were talking, and we were just having a conversation about some things, and he was doing this. And then he sort of finished, and he put down what he was whittling on the floor. And I sort of looked at it, and it was like, it just walked off. And I sort of said to him, what are you doing? And he basically said, there's nothing dead in heaven. Everything is living. So the ground is living, the grass is living, everything is living, everything contains life. It's wonderful stuff. And so he then said to me, what would you like to create? So whenever he says anything like that to me, like, what do you want to know? Immediately I get thoughts in my mind. My spirit just releases something. And I said, I want to create a bird. Yeah, a bird.
Awesome.
So I said, what does it look like? I said, it looks like it has a cockatiel sort of crest, and it's all rainbow colored feathers, and it has this yellow, this, and this tail that looks like this. And immediately I finished, it was flying around.
Whoa.
And he actually said to me, you will see this flying around in the garden of your heart, which I have.
Wow.
You know, and so we get to do creative things because we're made in the image of God. When we get to bring heaven on earth and to begin to create the garden of God on earth, we will have to use that creative ability to reshape things.
Amen.
And bring them back into alignment with heaven.
I receive it.
Now, you get this stuff from the desire of your heart because you spend time cultivating it in his presence, looking into his desires. Looking back into what was, so you can manifest that into what is every day. Because you get a new beginning every day of your life. A new opportunity every day to invite God into intimacy, to come into your first love gate, to engage into that. So he's trading into that revelation. Every day you get to bring God's purposes into your day, so that when you then create that into today, tomorrow will be different, because it will have an alignment. Then you get a new beginning tomorrow, and a new beginning the day after, and a new beginning the day after, because you're constantly operating in this sort of beginning and end, because the end of something is always the beginning of the new thing. So there's no fear in letting go of the old things, because we know it's always going to be a new beginning.
Right.
It's like, even if you were to physically die, which I have no intention of doing, by the way, because we need to be able to live forever. Because if we're going to be around when Jesus returns, we need to be, most of us, around for at least another generation. And I fully intend to be around for another generation. So you need to transform your physical body by using communion and the DNA of God to transform you into the image of God, to be transfigured, not just transformed. Because transfiguration is the ultimate purpose of this, that we would radiate glory like Jesus did on the cross. He radiated glory, and when he was transfigured, he radiated glory. When he was on the mountain with Moses and Elijah, he radiated glory. He actually radiated it. And there are people who today on the earth are several hundred years old, because they have been looking into the purposes of God from the beginning.
Yeah.
And they have been transfigured and transformed, and they are translucent and they shine. And they go around with cloaks. And some of people have seen them as ancient ones and hooded ones who radiate glory because they have been transformed. Now, you know, I teach how to get transformed in the transformation series, but you just need to do it and transform it But what I've found is when I was invited into intimacy, I've gone beyond just looking at the works of God and looking to engage in the works of God as the will of God for my day, which is good, to I want to know the ways of God, and therefore I need to look into it. And so looking into that, and when you step into it, you then begin to see out from the perspective of the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. And then you begin to speak out of the perspective of the lion and the ox and the eagle and the man in your life. Because some of you need to bring kingly order into your life. So you speak, you see from the perspective of what that order looks like in your circle and your sphere, and you begin to speak it into being and to bring order into it. Some of you need to look into the prophetic perspective of your life out of the scroll and begin to then call things that be not as if they were, and to prophetically call things into being. Some people here need to see from the perspective of the apostle, the eagle, and you need to soar and see the bigger picture. You need to see where your life fits into the purposes of God overall. And for some, you get to operate in the priestly function of how you align that with earth. How you bring alignment with the government of heaven to earth to open up a window or a door or an everlasting door to see the glory of God come through, to see that manifested on earth as it is in heaven. Because you can have benches of three aligning themselves with the purposes of God and the scroll of heaven, but unless there's earthly agreement, there is no window open. That's why when we started, I wanted earthly agreement between what I was doing in heaven with what you were agreeing with here, so that a window opened so that glory could be manifested and revelation could be released. So we need to spend a lot of time engaging in the presence of God, looking into eternity, looking into the future and the past to manifest it in our day. And that means that we can change our day every day to align with that. And the desires of your heart change. When I first did this a year ago, when I finally surrendered for my resistance from actually being proactive and inviting people to be engaged with me, other than having a private forum with 15 people in it, it took me 3 months or more to finally say yes, because I was looking at it from the earthly perspective. I have not got enough time. I have not got enough resource. I can't do this because I'm busy already. And when I surrendered, I began to see things from God's perspective. So he took me to see the possibilities and the purposes that he had that he was going to release. And in showing me that, I began to cultivate that in the desires of my heart. And it changed my desire. You know, it totally changed my desire from being resistant and then grudgingly obedient into pursuing something that feels like I was always intended to do this. And so, you know, just beginning to take a step of obedience, and all I did was just post one message on a forum to say, yeah, God really wants me to be obedient and to look to engage, to equip people to be part of the Joshua generation, and does anyone want to meet? That was it. He then showed me the doors that were going to open. And he showed me that I would have the capacity to do everything I was already doing and all that I was going to do when those doors were open. And to be honest, I have taken on mentoring 8 to 10 different groups of people a week and doing everything I've already been doing, and I still have the time to do it, which wasn't possible in my earthly perspective. I could not see a way that I could do that. So in preparation of things, which would take me several days to prepare certain things, I now prepare them in several hours. And I actually still produce the same PowerPoints and I still produce the same material. I just do it in a fraction of the time that I would have taken before. Because I've surrendered to my spirit, to God's purposes, to allow God to do it. And so he bursts revelation. I just sometimes sit down with not a clue of what I'm going to say or do, and I just produce something in an hour or less, which would have taken me days. So that means that I have time to engage with people, to equip and to mentor people into these things themselves. So, you know, my encouragement is this is a place of intimacy that I have really pressed in to engage in. And it has changed how I bring those things into the present. You know, because no longer am I just getting a mandate to do something. I'm now seeing God's heart and purpose in it, and it's just changing my whole desire. And in this, when I first did this, the next thing that happened, having been obedient, God took me out into the solar system and showed me the world. And I'm looking at the world, and it's sort of about football size shape, English football, soccer shape, not American football shape. And so basically, I sort of take hold of it, and it was not spinning. It was, I could only see one parallel dimension. What I could see was from Africa on one side to the west coast of the USA on the other. That's what I saw. And so I took it into my heart. I took it inside me, and in taking it inside me, I began to incubate it. And it totally changed my perspective of those countries and my desire to equip people and to engage with people, and changed everything that I do. My whole emotions and everything line up with that because my desire changed, you know, and I did resist. You know, I've got to be really honest. I procrastinated as long as I possibly could without God. And in the end, God really twisted my arm and said, look, are you going to do this or not? Because actually, if you don't, I'll call somebody else. Which was like, okay. Because when I first saw my scroll of destiny, I mean, none of this is anything to do with really anything I was going to teach, but I'm going to share it anyway. When I first saw my scroll of destiny, I saw a picture or a vision on it, and I recognized it and I immediately felt at home in it, but there were things on it I didn't equate to. I just saw them. And when I began to receive that and begin to outwork it, I then started to see the significance. See, what I saw on my destiny was a cruise ship. And, you know, so that's a really strange thing to have on your scroll of destiny, is a cruise ship. Well, on the cruise ship, there were no crew and no passengers. They were all the same, all living in a state of blessing, if you like. Because, I mean, I've done quite a lot of cruising. I love cruising as holidays because I love eating and I love visiting places. And so you get it all on a cruise and it's great. And you get to see a new place every day, and it's a great thing. So I recognized that this was something which my physical life had pursued and found real satisfaction in. And so when I saw this thing, and I saw a helicopter on a helipad, and I saw it taking off and coming back, and taking off and coming back. And I also saw a big satellite dish on it, a really big satellite dish on the cruise ship, which they don't normally have huge satellites. But this had one. So as soon as I embraced, okay, I need to connect up with people, God opened the door to, bless them, Google, who produce a free way of connecting with people all over the world and able to record what you do and make videos out of them, which was what this was referring to, being able to connect with people all over the world and engage with them relationally, because the kingdom has to be relational. I will not do anything unless it's relational. So I'm not going to set up you're in relationship with me and I've never met you. Because that's not what it's about. It's about actually meeting people, relating to them, sharing life with them, so that you have an impartation that you can give and receive. Because everyone gives and receives. I receive as much when I'm mentoring people as I give. Because people's questions and people's experiences are like, wow, that's really great. Where was that? How do you get back to that? Okay, yeah, I'm going to go back and look at that.
Right, right.
that happens all the time. Because it's like everyone gets their own personal encounters in heaven, which is multiversed. It's not one shape fits all. We all see it differently because we're uniquely made to engage. God made those multiverses for us so that we would be able to creatively be involved with who we are and release that. So when I saw this vision and I saw all these things, you know, I was like, okay, that's great. But I saw this helicopter taking off. So I thought, okay, you're going to want me to go somewhere, but come back. So that's good. Because this ship was not moving. It was docked. It was not on the ocean. It was docked. So it wasn't going anywhere. Because it represented the apostolic resource to be able to take that out to the world without going particularly. But there was a helicopter which like off. So then I get an invitation to go and do a conference up in Guildford, up in near London, which is about 250 miles away, of which I normally say no to those things because I don't want to travel 250 miles away and do anything, you know. But God has had to change my heart, which is why I'm here. So I thought, okay. That seems to line up with this picture. But I want some more confirmation, God. And this was a point, this was a few years ago. So I was like, okay, God, yeah, I'll do that. But I want to see some more. So this friend of mine comes up and says, I had this dream. This dream is really weird. I don't know what it means. But in this dream, I saw this big helicopter taking this ship up in the air and dumping it on the Thames, the River Thames, which is where Guildford is on a tributary of the Thames. And this guy had no idea what his dream was about, but for me it was just like, okay, God, I will not ask you for any more confirmation. I will just accept what you say firsthand. You know? So in a sense, what I did when I took the world into my heart, when you take things into your heart and you begin to incubate them and you begin to cultivate that desire within your heart for those things, you get authority to administer them. You don't have authority to administer anything you don't carry in your heart. And so you might have a mountain and you might be on your mountain, and you might be doing lots of things, but you won't be seeing a great dimension of results if you do not carry that mountain in your heart. Or each of the seven mountains of your life in your heart. And people, if you don't carry your sphere of it, like your family in your heart, when you go into heaven and you engage around the Ark of the Presence, you can then begin to look into their lives. And you can begin to then call forth on your mountain their lives into their destiny because you carry them in your heart. Now there's a limit to what you can carry. You know, you can't carry the world individually, 7 billion people. But you can carry individual people that were in your circle. So I can carry my church into it. I can carry the groups I'm mentoring in my heart, and I do. And so I will take them into the ark, and I will begin to look into what God's purpose is and get a mandate for what I do with them. And that's why for some groups I've taken to places that other groups I haven't. Because I have no mandate to take that group yet. I only did once because I was pestered to do it. And I took people to the Firestones and to the judgment seat of Christ. And then I then had to put a disclaimer on the YouTube clip saying, do not go here if you are not ready to go. Because you may have trouble if you're not ready to go and you engage in the judgment seat. And you're not ready to be really open to God's fire and things. But in general, you know, I seek for a revelation of what God's purposes are for a particular group or for a particular thing I'm doing, so I can then release it from my mountain and govern that and administer the kingdom. You will only have the degree of authority on your mountain that you have the degree of holiness in your life. That's why transformation and being a living sacrifice is absolutely vital if you're going to administer the kingdom. Because God won't give you authority greater than your holiness. He has done that in the past, and we've seen the results of fallen ministries and ministries who have fallen because they did not have the accountability of relationship to go with and the character to go with, because people were afraid to actually tell them when they were out of order and out of alignment. And so they hid. And in darkness, everything, the enemy works. So when we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we can have fellowship with one another, and we can live in the culture of honor, and we can help each other to fulfill our destinies, because we are accountable with each other. That's why if you're ever going to be part of a bench of three, you have to be willing to be totally transparent and honest with each other and accountable. Because if you won't, God will bring it up. I guarantee it. And it will cause trouble until you deal with it. And it's like I'm in three benches of three, and I've been in trouble with all of them in dealing with, because God brings things up and shows me it. And then I'm like, oh no, what am I supposed to do with that? Well, you're going to have to tell them. And I'm like, I don't want to tell them. Can't you tell them? No, because you have to exercise authority in government. And therefore, you've got to tell them the truth in love. Out of a heart, because you carry them in your heart, and I've shown you this stuff because you carry them in your heart. So don't now want me to do something because you carry them in your heart, now you have government. But there's stuff that works out around this stuff. Okay, we've done two slides of in this session. What was I going to do? Okay, this really is the key. Learning to engage God's presence and learning to step into His presence and learn to engage the past and the future and bring them into the day. That will transform your life. It will transform that which you have authority over. It will transform everything if you practice this. And you have to practice. You cannot incubate something in 5 minutes. It just won't work. You know, it's taken me 4 years to incubate my destiny scroll to a point where I'm willing to be obedient to it. And that the desires of my heart are longing for it. You know, so much so I'll do anything to pursue it. You know, I will pursue my destiny to whatever it takes to see it fulfilled. Because I carry it. You know, it's birthed in me, and you know, it's a joy to, like, doing this stuff now is a joy. You know, it's a joy because it just feels like this is what I was always destined to do, and to engage with people and to, you know, participate. Now, this is a transition period. It's like, I will not be doing this in years to come this way. We're in transition right now, so you need some revelatory information to help you develop the desire to pursue yourselves. But I long for the time when we will be together in a group like this, and we would all step into the realms of heaven together. We would get angelic assignments and God's assignments. We would be trans-relocated to different parts of the world and back in time, because you can also engage the timeline to answer the prayers of people from the past. Because there were people in the past who were not able to listen. And this happened in one of the hangouts this week. I was engaging with a group, and a couple said, look, does this work? What happened? We were met together, and we went into heaven, and we went back, and we went back into the 1800s, and we went into this house, and we went in where this child was sick, and we ministered them, and we ministered healing to them, and then we came back, and both of them went together, and they both saw it. It was like a real encounter. And they were like, is that, what? Where was that? What was that true? Did it happen? I'm like, absolutely. Because you desired to be available for God to answer His purposes. People were praying for the healing of their child in this, and it was in Oklahoma where they went. I don't even know where Oklahoma is, but but they went back into Oklahoma. Their parents were praying for that child, but there was no healing ministry in those days. So God used people here to go back and minister healing. Now, did they change time? No, they just went back and did what always was God was going to do by answering somebody's prayer and may be unavailable for God to use. So you can get assignments that will enable you to go into the past to answer people's prayers. Now, I know Gary Beaton has gone back to see things that were done in the past and then change the effect of what that had. He couldn't change what happened, but he was able, having seen what happened, to then administer the kingdom to stop the effect of that ongoingly into the future. And so there's lots of things when you begin to engage this way that you will get access to. And I long for the time when we would gather like that. We would just, and this is what I envisage for our Sunday sort of ecclesia gathering. We're not gathering to be fed, or we're not gathering to get something from God. We're gathering to minister to God and to step around the presence of God in the ark. And then to say, some people it will be, yeah, you're going to do this here. There's this angel here. He's going to stir the waters. People can get in and be healed, whatever. Others are going to get assignments to outwork the kingdom in time and space and in our day. And because that is what it's about. It's engaging what God's purposes are, then outworking them. And everyone can do that. You know, it's not about special people, other than we're all special. That's the reality. We are all uniquely special and the apple of God's eye. There are no special people above other special people. We're all the same. And therefore, we've all got different calls and things in our lives. But when we come around the presence of God, we get to be involved creatively in God's business. And he uses us to outwork his purposes. You know, and we will be creative. You know? You know, and I'll leave it there. Okay.
That's awesome.
All right, okay.